Well, what the? We're here? The season finale? Already? Wow. Man, this season's gone by quickly. Yeah, it's here. Season finale for Stanford football, and a challenging season ends with one last big test. And we're talking about it on the TreeCast with Troy Clarity on the Believe Podcast Network, Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. Man, Thanksgiving is almost here. After the show's done, I'm going to hit the gym and then throw a bird in the smoker and have a good old time for the rest of the day. Looking forward to it. I'm Troy Clarity. Hope you got big things planned as well for your Thanksgiving weekend coming up, including checking out Stanford football. Yep, the season finale as they welcome the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to the farm. You're going to hear from Stanford head coach David Shaw, plus a little bit from Stanford nose tackle Dalen Wade Perry and Cardinal left tackle Walter Rouse. But our special guest for this episode will be a guy whom I've really enjoyed watching play. I think he has been by far the constant for Stanford, especially in its front seven, but a true one of the better defensive players in the Pac-12, and really one of the all-around better people as far as student-athletes are concerned, not just in the Pac-12, but in the entire NCAA, Thomas Booker. Seemed kind of fitting, right, that we started this year at Media Day, Pac-12 Media Day down in L.A., talking to Thomas Booker and Michael Wilson as well. But seems kind of fitting that we finish up the season by getting Thomas's thoughts on the season and what could potentially be next for him coming up in the months ahead. So Thomas Booker, our special guest on this week's on this episode of the TreeCast. I'm just the host. I'm just Troy Clarity. This is going to be the wrap of my 29th season of following Stanford football, with season number 30, I'm sure, to come in 2022. Pac-12 Network play-by-play as well. Year number 8 of that is in progress. And actually, Pac-12 Network play-by-play is why I will not be at Stanford Stadium this Saturday. I've got the Stanford-Cal volleyball match up in Berkeley, which is later on that evening. So won't be at the farm on this upcoming Saturday, but I'll be keeping an eye on things. And we'll be back with you after that game is done on the next episode of the TreeCast. But this is my favorite time of year, my favorite of the holidays, Thanksgiving. You get a chance to kind of take some stock and be grateful and be thankful for the things that you do have, the people in your life, and all those sorts of other things as well. And I'm certainly, look, I would much rather have been talking about better stuff the last 6 weeks, but still grateful and thankful to have this outlet to talk about a subject that is very near and dear and close to my heart. At the Stanford football and Stanford athletics as a whole, and super grateful that you have decided to spend time with us for every episode. And even if not for every episode, if you check in every now and then, or if this is your first time checking us out, certainly grateful that you're spending some time with the TreeCast. Stanford 3-8 on the season. They've dropped 6 in a row. Notre Dame 10-1. And number 6 in this week's college football playoff rankings, and maybe looking for some style points to impress the committee and get into that top 4. We'll get you 3 things you need to know about Stanford football heading into Saturday's matchup. We'll do that in just a moment or so. And plus, obviously, later on in the show, we'll do a deeper dive into some things we could possibly see on Saturday, not just with Thomas Booker, but from my own personal analysis as well. I know you always look forward to that. But first, it's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with a promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your bonus. It's not just football. BetOnline also has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino game. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. I bet You're looking forward to three things. It's become a fan favorite of the show. Three things you need to know about Stanford football this week. And as always, we begin with number one. And Stanford's defensive struggles are no secret. We've talked about them on this show. The coaches and players have talked about it. And heck, you've seen it, especially the last few weeks, every Saturday against Utah on Friday. But I think you know what I mean. And the most glaring problem for Stanford of late has been tackling. So many missed tackles the last few weeks. What's the team doing to shore things up in that department? Davis Shaw told us what he could on his media Zoom this week.
Yeah, I'm not going to be overly specific there, but we have tweaked some things in how we practiced the last week plus. Got to work on that a little bit more this week as well. You know, it's late in the year. Don't want to beat our guys up. They're already beaten up a little bit by taking guys to the ground. But there are things that we've worked on technique-wise, some things we've tweaked in our daily practice schedule. To get our guys in position. That's the first and foremost part, is getting in position to make the tackle before you actually physically make the tackle. And that's something we've worked on quite a bit, and we'll work on that again this week. We need to.
Yeah, Shaw didn't really want to get into specifics for, you know, what should be some fairly obvious reasons there. But there's no doubt. We talked about this. The tackling has been far, far below the line. A lot of that is probably due to a lot of really banged up dudes running around out there for Stanford defensively. But there is no question about it. Tackling, once again, a major, major focus for Stanford this week. And it's certainly going to need to be on point against the Irish. Speaking of the Irish, let's move on to number two. And Notre Dame is number six in this week's college football playoff rankings. And that's certainly enough to get Stanford's attention. But even if the Irish weren't trying to break into the college football playoff conversation, anytime Notre Dame's on that opposite sideline, it's a big deal. David Shaw knows it.
A nationally televised game. They're very, very good. We have shown that we can be good, but we have not been consistently good. Hopefully the Golden Domers bring out the best in our football team. And you know, for the first time in over a month, see if we can see the best of Stanford football.
It's David Shaw, and even though it seems like eons ago, Stanford has already beaten one top 10 team this year. That stunning shocker against then number three Oregon. I still can't believe that. With the Irish in the house, can lightning strike for Stanford twice? Cardinal left tackle Walter Rouse would love to see it.
I just think the belief that we had in each other before the game and all throughout the game, and the confidence that we had, we can really use that going into Notre Dame. Like you said, no one believed that we could win. The only people that we thought could win that game was those people in the locker room, the coaches, the players, the staff. And just knowing that everyone had one mindset, one goal, that we could win this game, we played our style of football. And we did do that. We could win the game. And I believe we take that from take what we had from Oregon and bring that to Notre Dame. That can get us the game. And not only, you know, make it a game, but, you know, we could actually make a statement.
That's Walter Rouse. And yeah, Stanford is looking for multiple wins against top 10 teams in one season, which will be the first time since 2017 when the Card beat number 9 Washington, then beat number 9 Notre Dame 2 weeks later. Let's finish up three things with number three. And senior day ceremonies will be held before the game for all fourth, fifth, and sixth year seniors, with 27 guys being recognized all told. Among them, players like Thomas Booker, Tucker Fisk, Houston Haimuli, Jacob Mangum Farrar, Ricky Miazon, Gabe Reed, Jack West, Michael Wilson, and Isaiah Sanders. Also on that list is fifth year nose tackle Dalen Wade Perry. On Tuesday, I asked Dalen how he looks back on his Stanford experience.
Overall, it's been great. It's been a great learning experience, a great growth experience. You know, 5 years ago, I couldn't see myself being here for 5 years, you know, obviously, but looking back at it now, I'm just thankful to have had this opportunity and be around just the great people in this building. And outside of this building too, like on campus in the dorms, just being around such great people with such enthusiasm on getting better in every aspect of life. It's just, it's an experience that, you know, people would kill for.
It's Dalen Wade Perry, and it's well said, and those young men will be recognized regardless of whether they have remaining eligibility and regardless of whether they plan to return next year or not. And there will be a lot of those decisions coming up in the next few weeks. A lot of stuff happened to this senior class that it hadn't really planned on, both on and off the field. But those young men persevered, and they're great representatives of a great university. And a big time thank you from me to the senior class. Those are three things. One of those seniors, Thomas Booker, is our special guest. He's coming up in a brief moment or so. But first, let me get you the injury update from David Shaw's Tuesday Zoom, his final weekly media Zoom of the season. Wow, I can't believe this is the last week of the year. This season went by just in the blink of an eye. But the injury update, lighter than normal. Four guys have been declared out. Wide receiver John Humphreys, wide receiver Silas Starr, outside linebacker Stephen Heron, and running back and punt returner Casey Filkins. Just wasn't able to make it back for this season. Tight end and defensive end Tucker Fisk is questionable, but those five guys were the only players listed on David Shaw's personnel update during Shaw's weekly media Zoom on this Tuesday. And hopefully that question mark straightens into an exclamation point for Tucker Fisk as we get closer and closer to Saturday. Our special guest on this week's episode is a guy who, for Stanford football, really, by this point in his career, shouldn't need that much of an introduction. Thomas Booker, senior from Ellicott City, Maryland, finalist for the Senior Class Award and the Campbell Trophy, also known as the Academic Heisman, and the guy who not only has, as we mentioned at the top of the show, just been an absolute stalwart on that Stanford defensive line and in the front seven, and by far, to me, the one true main constant throughout this year, especially in the front seven, but also a really good guy, a good student athlete, and oh, by the way, made the big block against Cal last year to send the Aggies back to Palo Alto in that 2020 big game. After Tuesday's practice on a chilly evening on the farm, Thomas Booker and I caught up. Here's our chat. Thomas Booker, our special guest on the TreeCast. All right, Thomas, we started the year chatting at Media Day back in LA in late July, and yeah, now here we are. The season finale as Notre Dame is coming to town. We'll get your thoughts on that matchup here in a second. But overall, your thoughts on the season, your summary on the season, some high points and some tough moments, especially the last 6 weeks or so. How would you sum it all up?
Yeah, I think it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride this season. Obviously, you know, opening up with a loss to Kansas State, but, you know, coming back surging against USC and against Oregon. Those were two huge wins for us. But, yeah, it's just been a tough go, you know what I'm saying, with injuries. And then us just not playing up to our potential in some of the games. So, yeah, for us it's been a roller coaster ride. But the one thing that stayed constant is everybody's commitment, you know. Football is a game of adversity and of momentum. So I think I'm really proud of the way the guys have fought, you know, the adversity and when the momentum swung, you know, against us. So, yeah, roller coaster ride is how I'd like to say it. But everybody that's been along for it has been resilient.
I've gotten that sense as well, when scores kind of get out of hand and things aren't looking so great, but I've never gotten the sense this year that this team is just kind of, you know, let its guard down.
Yeah, never checked out. Never checked out. That's our thing. We never going to check out. This is all about, you know, pride, what you put on tape. And that's not dictated by the scoreboard or anything else like that. You know, it's a play-by-play thing. You play the same way up 30 that you do down 30, you know. So that's kind of the mentality that we want to play with. Obviously, you don't want to be down 30, but, you know, life is life. Stuff happens.
Was there a turning point this season for you?
For me personally, I think I don't know. I think this year, like, was going from, like, really being comfortable and dominating last year to kind of putting it all together. And, you know, I think this year I've been able to do that pretty well. Obviously, again, had some adversity. Certain times, you know, I feel like I could have played a little bit better. But overall, you know, I feel like I've been so much more aggressive and cerebral when it comes to, you know, playing defense. I think I've finally kind of gotten all of the thinking out of the game, and I'm just going. You know, so that's been super helpful. It's always much more fun to play defense where you can just go and let your athleticism take over versus, you know, thinking too much about your responsibility or whatever, you know, and that comes with some experience and time in the defense.
Obviously, run defense has been a subplot for the squad this year with things not trending, I'm sure, the way that anyone would have planned this season. What sort of things just haven't clicked as far as that's gone, especially over the past few weeks or so?
Yeah, I think when you look at our tape, you see a lot of good things in the run defense. The issue is the consistency and the fact that we allow some big plays. So it's a lot of the time, you know, outside of 3 to 4 plays, you know, we're allowing below 4 yards of carry, below 3.5. But outside of a couple of these plays, we're not fitting stuff the right way, where they're bringing different pin and pull schemes out, and guys just aren't fitting the blocks the correct way. That's where they're getting these big hitters. So for us, it's just the consistency throughout the game, right? You can play a fantastic game on defense. You can play, you know, 40 out of your 45 snaps, shoot 70 out of your 75 correctly. But the five that you don't fit the right way can end up being the difference makers that are exposed to plays. So, you know, it's kind of a tagline that you hear for a lot of defenses that are struggling with run defense. But, you know, limiting the explosive runs, keeping everything, you know, with in front of that second level. So, yeah.
Margin for error, obviously so slim, especially in college football and especially in the Pac-12. Let's take it back.
Yeah.
Take you back in the way back machine a little bit.
Okay.
Your first day on the farm, your first day in this program. Jeez. What do you remember about it? What were some of the, I imagine there was a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation.
Yeah.
What were some of the things you were feeling when you were getting started here on the farm?
That's a great question. I think for me, it was anticipation, kind of questions about, you know, whenever you move up a level, right, middle school to high school to college, college to pro, you always got that question like, all right, can I be as exceptional here as I was, you know, at the level before? So that was a question that I had when I came in. And, you know, throughout camp, you know, I kind of, first time I really gotten thrown around. it didn't happen to me in high school like that, but got a reality check when I got into college. But once I settled in and kind of got some of those jitters away, those freshman jitters, I got much more comfortable and I understood that I could do something special at this level. But yeah, that first day, it was really just a lot of anticipation, you know, excitement for what was to come. Obviously couldn't have foreseen a pandemic kind of cutting my college experience in half. But yeah, you know, it's whenever you're at the kind of window of possibilities, that's how I felt, you know. And kind of looking back on it now is crazy just because, you know, that saying, the days are long, but the years are short is really, really true.
Who were some of the guys when you first came into the program who kind of helped guide you and kind of help show the way to what being in this program is really all about?
Yeah, I think guys like Dylan Jackson, Mike Williams, Javon Swan, all of those older dudes, Tomas Schaffer as well, were really instrumental in kind of, you know, giving me the space and the time to develop into what I was going to be, and also just giving me the little tips and tricks about how to operate and maneuver in college as a college football player, because, you know, there isn't a guidebook to this. You know, there's unique ways you can do it, but I think a really big thing is having your seniors, having your older guys, you know, ready to bestow wisdom on the younger guys in terms of how to do things the right way, you know, in terms of how to do your work, how to get your time managed and all that. So that was super helpful for me.
You realize that, of course, you're in big game lore with the block from last year. I'm sure that's a story you're going to be telling the kids, the grandkids, the great grandkids, everyone, random people at restaurants, all that sort of stuff.
You know, if it comes up, then I'll expound upon it. But I'll let other people talk about it. But yeah, no, that was a crazy moment. I think for me, like, one of my dreams has always been to make, you know, the game-winning play when it's needed most. So, you know, to be able to do that along with the rest of the block team was incredible. You know, when you can do the walk-off play, you know, the walk-off hit in baseball, game winner in basketball, in this case, a blocked PAT. Yeah, it's a beautiful feeling. So something I'm definitely going to remember for the rest of my life.
It's Thanksgiving week. I know your family's here. You're excited about that. Spending the whole week, you're going to have a chance to have a dinner with them at some point during the week. What is Thomas Booker thankful for?
Man, there's so much, honestly. You know, I think first and foremost is my family, my mother and father and my sister, all of them have been, you know, incredible role models for me in different ways. You know, my sister going to Princeton and then going to Duke Law School has kind of showed me the blueprint for academic success and just grinding. So I really respect her for that and so many other things. My father and my mother always impressed upon me the importance of being like a holistic man. I'm super thankful for that. I'm also just thankful for, you know, my experience at Stanford. This has been a crazy 4 years, obviously because of the pandemic, like I mentioned earlier, but I've also learned so much, not only from an academic sense, but, you know, about myself, about how I learn, about how I respond to adversity. And I'm thankful for the Stanford football program and the guys that I've been around, you know. As I kind of come to the end of my run here, you know, you get a little bit more introspective about, you know, what's happened, what you've gained, what you've learned, all the insights you've had. And, yeah, just being around these guys all the time has made this so worth it. You know, the guys in my class, being able to talk with them, being able to see them on a daily basis and relate to them has, you know, been a huge blessing for me over this 4 years. So, yeah, that and, you know, meeting all the new people, the classmates, the professors and all that. It's hard to put into words all the things that I'm, you know, thankful for. A
couple last things here for you. This is it, the last shot, the last dance. It comes against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
Kind of missed having those guys on the schedule last year along with USC, but hey, 2020 went bowl 2020.
Mm-hmm,
here come the Irish once again. Your initial thoughts on Notre Dame and especially what sort of challenges they pose from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, you know, I think Notre Dame's always putting out a great squad. I think their offensive line looks really physical. And for me, my big key is going to be playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So get off, crowding the ball, you know, making them kind of dig me out of that is going to be huge. But I think they have some really versatile playmakers. I think the running back, number 23, is a really versatile guy out the backfield, running between the tackles, bouncing stuff outside. I know their quarterback, number 17, could throw the ball. And number 12, the guy they got as the backup, is a really, really good runner. A scrambler, you know, shifty dude. So, you know, I think they got a versatile offense. I'm excited to go against them. It's a great challenge.
I love asking defensive linemen this question. What percentage would you say, how often are you being held during the course of a game?
I couldn't tell you. honestly, I mean, for me, I wear Velcro under my jersey to help with that, and it still happens. I think I got the C on my jersey ripped off couple of times. Actually, I've had jerseys torn completely because of the holding. So if I had to put a percentage on it, you know, I'd have to go above 65. Above 65, you know, that might be me being generous. I might be 75, you know, but I mean, that's part of the game. That's part of the game. Football is not an exact science, so at the end of the day, you got to figure out a way to make a play through it all. But yeah, no, offensive lines really do like holding. I got a couple of pictures where my jersey is lifted off of my chest, shoulder pads too, but you know, that is what it is.
So if the officials are listening to this chat, hey, watch out for number four and being held.
Please watch out for number four being held. I would really appreciate some calls.
All right, as we wrap this up, your big key or big keys to this Saturday against Notre Dame?
Big keys are being able to play double teams. They like running downhill, so it's going to be a lot of forehands on defensive linemen. So for me, leverage and being able to split these double teams and be able to make plays is going to be huge. And then also just for the defense as a whole, tackling. You know, a lot of the time we've had opportunities to get guys down the backfield where they bounced off or whatever and redirected and made big plays. So, you know, the first guy coming in and at least slowing the person down, you know, at least so everybody else can get there is going to be huge. So, yeah, sure, tackling and being able to play those double teams and stay, you know, solid in the midst of it all is going to be huge for us as a defense.
Big test to end the season, and a lot of tests have come Stanford's way throughout the course of this season. Thomas Booker has aced, I'm sure, many a test throughout the course of his football career and off the field as well. I can't wait to see what you've got in store on and off the field going forward. Thanks a bunch. Appreciate the time. Always enjoy watching you play. Hope to chat with you again soon. Best of luck and best of health.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
I am not shy in saying this. I have not been, and I don't think I ever will be. Thomas Booker, I'm a tremendous fan of his. A really, really big fan of his. And if you you point to the epitome of what a student athlete should be all about, by all accounts, it's that guy. It's that dude. And I've also said this before, and I'll say it again here. Strong chance I'll either be voting for him or working for him at some point. And, you know, whether Whether he does his best work on or off the field, both of those things I think are equally possible. I can't wait to see what he's got in store after his Stanford career is all said and done. Defensive linemen always think they're being held, don't they? Booker says, what, 65% or so? I think I asked Harrison Phillips this, and he said he might have given me a number closer to 80%, but that's always a fun question. And there were more than a few times I've been watching from the press box or even watching, you know, from my couch on TV and going, hey, they're holding Booker, throw the flag. It doesn't quite happen, but still, the life of a defensive lineman. Thanks again to Thomas Booker for dropping by and spending time with us on this week's episode. A preview of Notre Dame coming up in a moment, but I want to bring up something here that David Shaw unsolicited talked about on his weekly media Zoom on Tuesday, and we'll do big picture off season type stuff on next week's episode. So if you're looking for me to make grand pronouncements and bold statements on what this program needs to do to turn things around and get back into form for 2022, you're going to have to wait on that a bit. We'll trust me, we'll have plenty of time to discuss those things starting after Saturday. One thing that I did want to bring up now was this bit from David Shaw and his media Zoom this week. Take a listen.
It's not about we have the wrong players. It's not about we have the wrong coaches. People can say whatever they want to say. That's fine. Our record has earned criticism, and I'll never shy away from it. But at the same time, I'm comfortable saying, you know, you want to take your shots at us, you want to take your shots at me, take them now. Really like this group. I think we've got some special guys here. I think you're going to see a lot of what you saw early in the season in the near future for these guys.
Yeah, and look, 3-8 is a record that is definitely worthy of criticism, especially when you started at 3-2. Definitely worthy of criticism. There is no question about that, and no one would try to spin it. No one with any real credibility would try to spin that anyway. Now, one constant that has stood out more and more each week as the losses keep piling up has been Shaw's faith in his guys. A couple weeks ago, a reporter asked him, hey, you know, other coaches are firing assistants within the conference and without the conference. Well, what do you make of that? And Shaw said, look, we're not gonna shove people away when times get tough. We're gonna bring them closer. And every single week, every single media Zoom, every single post-game interview, every in-week interview that I've been a part of with him, he's always said, look, I have faith in my guys. You know, well, this is a special group that we have here. You just heard him say that. Now, the cynical part of me would say that part of that is, well, what else is he supposed to say? Oh my God, our front seven can't stop the run at all, and our defense is one of the worst statistically in the nation, and we're having problems scoring and this and that. Oh, no. He's not going to say it. At least he's not going to say it like that. He's not going to be like Hudson and Aliens. That movie was on when I got back home from Big Game, by the way. It seemed appropriate viewing. So part of me would say, well, what else is he supposed to say? Right? And the cynical part of me would also say that part of it is also because he has to have faith in his guys. Because his guys are all he has, right? This ain't the pros. You can't hit the waiver wire. Can't sign free agents off the street. Transfer portal doesn't have that immediate turnaround. And even if it did, Stanford's abilities to use the transfer portal would be limited at best based on the academic component of the admissions part of the equation for getting into Stanford. Football team doesn't run the show, folks. But still, even though the cynical parts of me lean towards those directions, Overall, though, I still think that Shaw's faith in his guys is truly the genuine article. I get the sense that it's genuine. It's not artificial. I don't get the sense that necessarily that he's telling us in the media one thing. Oh, I have a special group of guys, and then turning heel, you know, once he's talking to his coaches and trying to make evaluations. I don't get that sense anyway. I don't get that sense. And certainly there is more talent and more to like on this team, especially at the skill positions, than there were on other Stanford teams over the last couple of decades with similar win-loss records. I don't think it's that close, really, from a talent standpoint, particularly at the skill positions. So, you know, call it stubborn, call it being overly optimistic on Shaw's part, whatever. But I do think that his faith in his guys is truly, truly genuine. And he's going to need to have faith in his guys this upcoming Saturday because Notre Dame is coming to town. And the Irish are pretty good. They're 10-1. Their lone loss to Cincinnati, which looms as one of the results of the college football season, especially given that the Bearcats are number 4 in this week's rankings and the Irish are number 6. And Notre Dame is coming off a curb stomping 55-0 of Georgia Tech. And they haven't allowed a touchdown in 3 straight games. Granted, those 3 games were against Georgia Tech, Virginia, and Navy, but still, that's something. Hey, Coach Shaw, is this Notre Dame squad the best team you're going to face this season?
Yeah, no question. No question. They're appropriately ranked. A lot of very skilled athletes out there. They are missing their superstar safety. Probably the best safety in America, probably the best safety in America over the last 2 years. But they haven't missed a beat defensively. Very aggressive, very physical. On the offensive side, they do a great job schematically, running the ball, getting the quarterbacks on the edge, play action pass, and then they have some good matchups in their favor that they take advantage of. So it's a good, very good football team that knows who they are, and they know how to win games.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And look, this is the latest installment in a series that is handsome. Had some great moments, right? 1990, when Stanford went in and knocked off the number 1 Irish. 1992, John Lynch versus Jerome Bettis and Bill Walsh versus Lou Holtz. Stanford winning on both of those matchups decisively. 1997 was a nice win. You might remember that one. 2012 still irks me. Stephon Taylor scored. I was not happy walking out of Notre Dame Stadium that day at all. It's also pretty wet, too. What a miserable afternoon and evening that was. Oh, 2015. All right, I'm in a better mood now. Conrad Ukrapina at the buzzer. What a great game that was. So there have been some great moments in the history of this series, even though it only dates back to the late 80s. And I've always been a big fan of having Notre Dame on the schedule, even when the two programs have not matched up well from a competitive standpoint. As of right now, that series is supposed to end after the 2024 meeting in South Bend. As of right now. Let's go back into the Wayback Machine for a moment. Back to January of this year, when David Shaw joined the TreeCast for a one-on-one chat. And I asked him if this series might go beyond 2024. Here's what Shaw said.
Yeah, we've been consistent, and Notre Dame's been consistent that this rivalry is a positive, I think, for both institutions, not just the athletic departments and football programs, but both institutions really appreciate this rivalry, the opportunity to go back and forth. We, of course, love going to the Midwest and playing a game every other year in the Midwest. They love going to play a game every year in California, whether it's Stanford or USC. I think it helps both all three of us in recruiting. But especially the Stanford Notre Dame rivalry, I think it's a really good one. It's a physical one. It's what we want it to be with student athletes on the field. So I would count on that thing getting extended. Of course, there happens in offices bigger than mine. But I feel comfortable that that one's going to get extended.
Yeah, that was a David Shaw back in January. Now, a few things have happened since then, right? Another round of realignment has begun, thanks to Texas and Oklahoma kicking over the anthill. The Big Ten, the Pac-12, the ACC, they're in an alliance. So some seismic shifts forthcoming in college football. Did those events change Shaw's confidence that Stanford-Notre Dame will still be a thing after 2024? I asked Shaw on Tuesday, and here's what he said.
I know a lot of things are working right now with all the conference stuff going on, and thus far, Notre Dame has resisted joining a conference. If they do at some point in time, that may change the arrangement that we have with them. That may change the arrangement that USC has with them. It may not change the relationship. But I think most parties agree that this is a positive thing for Notre Dame. It's a positive thing for Stanford. It's a positive thing for USC. And hopefully that continues.
Yeah, slightly less confident, it seems, but still. I would imagine. Notre Dame likes making this road trip out west every year. I mean, Stanford in odd years and USC in even years for recruiting. And vice versa for Stanford. That's why they like making the trip out to the Midwest. Plus, it's a high-profile opponent for Stanford. And I like it because I like going to South Bend. Man, I love going to Notre Dame for football games. That is a special place. A special place on game days. Don't know what it's like the other 361 days out of the year, but that campus, it does college football right. You should go if you haven't. You should go even if you have. But a high-profile opponent for Stanford, and if you beat them, as Stanford has done 5 times out of the last 9, it gets you noticed, right? Gets you notice, especially from the college football pundits who only pay attention to the legacy programs. You heard a lot of those guys shrieking back in September after Stanford beat USC. So I'd imagine it still makes sense for Notre Dame and for Stanford to keep this thing going past 2024. I mean, heck, for all I know, maybe they're just waiting for an announcement. But this is college football. Doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make dollars. As far as this game specifically is concerned, a bit on the Irish. Their offense is flexible. Let's start with the ground game because that's very well where this game could be decided. It seems to be the case for Stanford, especially over the last few weeks. Kyren Williams, number 23 for the Irish. You heard Thomas Booker mention him. Leads the team in rushing with 928 yards. Oh, by the way, Stanford has rushed for 992 yards as a team this year. So I found that an intriguing and telling comparison. You could also see a steady diet of Chris Tyree and Logan Diggs, two other tailbacks in Notre Dame's system. Notre Dame has rushed for at least 150 yards in 6 straight games. And they dropped 249 yards rushing on Virginia a couple weeks ago. And 212 more on Georgia Tech last week. Now, should Notre Dame choose to throw the ball at any point on Saturday, they'll do it with quarterback Jack Cohn, who's had an effective season, and Michael Mayer leads the team in catches. Now, defensively, Irish may perhaps missing their best player in safety Kyle Hamilton. He got hurt against USC last month and hasn't played since, but Hamilton was getting a lot of notice even before the season began and was certainly on his way to having a big-time season before his injury. But this Irish offense, this Irish defense, rather, still pretty dangerous, and they still have dangerous players with gaudy numbers. Isaiah Foskey has 10 sacks this season. Just for comparison's sake, Stanford as a team has 13 sacks. So their defense gets after the quarterback, and their secondary takes the ball away. They have 15 interceptions this year. So a lot's going to be on Tanner McKee here, I think, to make the right reads against a defense that I'm sure is going to try to confuse them. And there have been times where secondaries have switched things up, done fantastic jobs of disguising coverages. UCLA did this in particular. Cal did it to a certain extent as well. McKee talked about it after the game last week. And I would imagine that Notre Dame has maybe seen a few of those things on tape and said, how can we use that knowledge to work for us? So whether McKee can make the right reads against a defense that's probably going to try to disguise some things, probably going to try to confuse him a little bit, start off showing zone and then switch to man or vice versa, having safeties go in different spots right before the snap. And there have been times where McKee has been slightly slow to recognize things. So can McKee kind of quicken up his recognition and be able to diagnose what the defense is truly throwing at him? I think that's going to be a critical key, besides the obvious ones, blocking and tackling for Stanford. It really, I hate that it's that simple. I hate that it's that fundamental for the Cardinal, but it really is. Can Stanford block and can Stanford tackle? If the Cardinal can do those things, along with Tanner McKee being able to solve the Notre Dame puzzle defensively, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Cardinal, big underdogs. I don't know what the spread is off the top of my head. I don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff. But, you know, I Stanford, I'm sure, big, large underdogs, you know. Rightfully so, based on what each of these teams have shown to this point this season. But hey, strange things happen sometimes, right? Tall test. We'll see how it goes. So hopefully by Saturday at 5 p.m., you will have emerged from your turkey coma. And if you have the chance, head down to Stanford Stadium and check out the game. I'm not sure the last few years at the home finales at the end of the game, you know, the stadium staff has let fans onto the field just to hang out and mill about and just kind of, you know, take it in. I think that's a really, really cool thing that they've done over the past few years. I'm not sure if they're going to do that this year because, well, COVID-19 is still a thing, but hopefully they do. Hopefully you head down to the stadium and check it out. And, you know, hey, at the very least, send off the seniors who've been through a lot and done a lot. And who knows? You might see something special on Saturday. It's the beauty of college football. As always, I welcome your thoughts, what you've got going in your mind around Stanford football. Hit me with the hashtag TreeCast. Hashtag TreeCast is the way to go. Again, you should be at Stanford Stadium. I will not be able to, however, due to Pac-12 Network duties on the play-by-play side. So what that means is that in all likelihood, I will be watching the game, getting caught up on Sunday. And that likely means that the next episode of the TreeCast will come your way on Monday. So our posting schedule slightly off this week due to the Thanksgiving holiday and also due to the fact that I'm not going to be a part of the festivities in person on Saturday. So we'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks to our special guest, Thomas Booker. Always enjoy chatting with that guy. Thanks to, well, David Shaw, Dalen Wade Perry, and Walter Rouse. You heard from those three guys too. And the biggest thanks of all goes to you for checking out the show, for being a part of the program, for subscribing, for downloading and listening and rating and reviewing and enjoying the show, even though sometimes, especially for the last 6 weeks or so, we haven't necessarily been talking about enjoyable stuff. And I hope that this Thanksgiving holiday finds you surrounded by people you love, eating food you enjoy, and watching good football. That's what Thanksgiving's all about. We'll see you Monday. Don't drink and drive. If you do, you're the dumbest person on the planet. See you next time on the TreeCast with Troy Clarity on the Believe Podcast Network.